Anybody have any thoughts about what we studied yesterday? Anybody remember what we studied yesterday? No. The believe in your heart. Remember the idea that the word in your heart is a location, the sphere. The sphere, we talked about the sphere, but we also, the only time we mentioned the sphere yesterday was in relationship that you have to see that the veil has been torn in your temple. And the flesh profiteth nothing. And that flesh includes all of your ideas and all of your opinions. And so that the resident of this mystery is in your heart, not in your head. I use the stick.
Well, actually, just the pen. The stick is taken away. But it's in your heart as Christ, not in your heart as some kind of improved.
No, no. It's the idea, and you remember the word heart is just means the inner core. So there's a mysterious thing that has happened to us, and that we have been invaded. And that invasion is the location where is the Son of God has invaded us. Not to be independent, isolated king's kids, but to be part of the mystery, the universal mystery of the body of Christ or the church. And so anyway, everybody remember all that?
I just thought that the instruction is always the same. No matter what is said about the gospel, anytime you take it as something about you in any way, and what you just said, kind of indicated it. You're invaded to be part of the body, not to be any kind of dead or anything.
And remember, you don't deny Jesus if you believe what he said by saying Jesus doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist.
Is this right? Thinking about you saying. That if I'm sitting and listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking about it, if I become somehow conscious and start thinking about what you're saying, what I'm really doing, the process of thinking, is I'm talking about it in my mind. I'm manipulating it in my mind. If I'm doing that, I'm resurrected. The desirable state is to be not self-conscious.
Let's go to 1 John.
I'm talking inside my head.
1 John chapter 4, I think. Or 1 John chapter 3, somewhere on there. Chapter 3, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father. What? Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 2, 15. I'm sorry. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think of the implications of that statement. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, you have to understand that every perception, every sense, every emotion that you have is of the world. Because it's of flesh. It's flesh and blood. Flesh and... It is not... Your thoughts aren't spiritual. Their thoughts are just natural. They're just a hardwire mechanism that always causes you to be concerned with yourself. That's the way you're wired. That's the fruit of the fall. Nothing you can do about it. You can't take any courses. You can't memorize the Bible. There's nothing that can be done. So the only ones that can know this, this mystery that the scriptures say has been hid from all generations, is coming to the end of yourself. To see yourself by whatever standard that you make as a failure. Now, some of you haven't seen yourself as failures yet. You think that it could be different. Because failure is like the worst. It's the thing that you've had to avoid your entire life. Or weak. You can't be weak. Well, but you can't avoid it, but your mind's still avoiding it. Your mind can't accept that. Without a replacement. And the replacement is, finally, when you see that the striving and the garbage is over, and that there is no there in your imaginations any longer, and you're sick unto death of your fantasizing, then he's there. But he can't, but as long as you continue to fill the temple with you and your thoughts, and even your thoughts about spirit or God stuff or Bible or anything. It's just you. But that's not what we're going to talk about. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire or lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, all of those things, the desire of the eyes, or the desire of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's what Eve was tempted with. And that's what Adam and Eve sold out for. Now, how many times do you sell out through that in a day? You don't sell out by doing it. You sell out by your thought process. Anyway. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Who's the one that does the will of God? There's only one. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have to be sick of you. If you're not sick of you, then you're going to continue to meet your primary goal in life. You're going to pray and worship and sacrifice to the really, really stupid God, you. And all you do is minister to yourself. Everything is about you internally. And put on a nice show, and every once in a while you do something for somebody else. But your inner life is consumed with you. And that's the mind-blowing evil. And especially when it's consumed with you thinking about God stuff. Because you can't do it. You can study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, but if you look at what those words mean, it means that you, as you're studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, you're getting cut up with a sacrificial knife. Nobody cares what you think about something. Nobody cares what your opinion is about God's stuff. Nobody should care what my opinion is. Nobody cares what you think about the world. Nobody cares what your ideas are about this or that. Somebody may act like they're caring, sort of give you some feedback, but they're just waiting for a chance to put their opinion in. It's a lie. The system that we live in is a lie. Now watch, nobody's going to ever tell me again what they think about something. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now the word many there means almost all. It means just about, and he's not talking about what's going on in the world. He's talking about the Antichrist in the church. You understand? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The only thing that has to happen is the repentance so that the all things will be manifest. But you keep trying to find all things by learning. That's the way of the world. The way of the Spirit is you learn, you know all things by repentance. Do you understand how mind-blowingly opposite what this is from what the way we think, and how this has got to, you've got to somehow come to grips with it? Otherwise, you're just going to take this and add it on to your life. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is the instead of Christ that denieth the Father and the Son. How do you deny that he is the Christ? If he is the Christ, then the kingdom of Messiah is come. He is Lord, therefore everything is perfect. So how do you deny that he's the Christ? By complaining, by something, seeing something is wrong. Nobody can say, except by the Spirit of the Lord, except by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is Lord. Well, everybody runs around and says Jesus is Lord. You sing songs about it. You raise your hands about it. But my God in heaven, what's their confession? What's their life? Their life says everything in the universe is wrong. So therefore, they're not saying that Jesus is Lord. They're not living that Jesus is Lord. If he is Lord, everything is perfect. And the only enemy on the face of the earth or under the earth or above the earth is your mind. Your mind is enmity. Enmity is an incredible word. It means the hatred is so strong that one of you has to die. Well, you're not going to kill Christ. Well, yes, you do. You crucify him afresh when you start giving breath to your opinion. Can you rock this? Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that would seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his presence. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. The point is, you've got to come finally to the place where you understand that for you to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that means dying in every single aspect of your being. Because he is life. He is prosperity. He is peace. He is the way. He is everything. And I am nothing. You can't learn about him except as an independent self looking over there and saying, oh, that's nice. That's like a nice little thing. Isn't that a nice painting? Isn't that a nice Jesus? Oh, that's just pet Jesus. But the deception is so subtle. Because you can think, oh, I'm just giving him the glory. Well, isn't that damn big of you? I'm just thinking about him. No, you're not. You're thinking about because the thing, this evil one, this beast, is hardwired for self-seeking. That's all it can do. Now he says then this famous passage. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's all that's going on. It's simply getting the mirror off your sight. So you stop looking everywhere and saying, how does this affect me? What does this mean to me? What can I do about this? You might as well go study yoga or some crap. You get better results, at least for a little bit. And I'm listening to Zig Ziglar. That's a lot. It's kind of disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's well, you know what I think about that. It's just another, you know, how to get skinny book. And I mean, that's all we are. How to get this, or how to get that.
So, what is it called? Nature's diet. What Jesus said. We actually have in the next issue, we have an article that's perfect. Kind of it's how to tips on how to just hang out at the Christian bookstore without getting kicked out or by. Yeah. So, it's like a how to book about.
How to books.
How to just hang out and put all the how to books.
But I mean, it's nice to laugh at somebody else about this. I don't care. I want you to see what you do in Repent. That way, when you can start having being satisfied with one or two pair of shoes, then I'll know you've heard. You want to continue?
No.
Okay.
That word you mentioned a while ago about results, that's what man I would look for.
I want you to look at me. Look at the fruit of my life for 30 years. There's no results. I mean, this is goofy. Everything about it. Pitiful. Just pitiful.
Pitiful results.
This isn't anything worth anything. Pitiful. My life is a failure. Totally, now I can come up with something, oh, thank God for failure. Some of the crappy cliche to sort of move you into a false sense. You got to get to the core. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Of course, that's easy. Well, you know. I still love this. If we're all the children of God, what made Jesus so special? I mean, that's what people believe. They're the human race or the children of God. Oh. Okay, if everybody's the child of God, then what made Jesus so special? The only time you're a child of God is when you recognize that the only begotten Son is in you. And then you are just at best the vessel for the child of God. The best that we can be is after the flesh, is a friend of the bridegroom.
There's a scripture that says, we're not of those who draw back from the tradition.
Hebrews 8.
The difference that I perceive between being not conscious of self and conscious of self is I have to draw back from, I have to draw back from the edge, from now, from the abyss, whatever it is, from the unknown. I have to draw back in order to be
conscious of yourself. Remember, that's what I've said for since I started talking about it. We have to be right on the edge at all times, on the knife edge between soul and spirit, and never draw back. Never have anything protect you. Never have anything concern you. Never have anything. I made some enemies last night. I was sitting at a table. They started, a couple of people had seen Dateline. I said, what the hell did you invite me for? Am I your resident freak? Huh?
That's what we invited.
What? Please, please, come, whatever it takes, the understanding to the certainty that the slightest thing, the whatever is a gain to you, even the slightest feeling of well-being, whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Start having a readiness to revenge all other things. Unless somebody have any response? Anything else? Everybody understand perfectly. Nobody disagrees with the slightest little thing I said. Take a big guy.